Always wonderful to see the kids up here on Christmas Eve. Amen. Thank you, Jen Thompson and Andy, what's your wife's name? Emily Workin. Thank you. Blanked out there. I was at a elders' dinner the other night with the elders and wives, and we had a white elephant gift. And, you know, those are they're kind of silly, but they're kind of fun. You know, people get a little bit crazy about certain gifts that they've got to have, and it goes back and forth and all that kind of stuff. Well, I got a gift. I picked up a box that looked like some books, and I love books, and I love to read. And I opened it up, and it was a biography about Steve McQueen, that storied Hollywood actor. And it was written by Greg Laurie, and he's the pastor of a large church in Southern California. And others looked at my present or my white elephant gift, and I scowled my meanest scowl so that nobody would take it. And it succeeded, I guess. I'm sure they were terrified. And nobody took my Greg Laurie book about Steve McQueen. But I got it read in a couple of days, and it wasn't real long, but I was fascinated by the Greg Laurie parallels that he found from his own life to Steve McQueen's life. Greg Laurie grew up with an alcoholic mother and an absent father and had a lot of turmoil in his early life. And Steve McQueen's experience was much the same. His mother was an alcoholic and his father was absent. And it was incredible to see the story, or I should say biography, historical account that Steve McQueen went through and that Greg Laurie found. And I want to tell you about that in just a moment. But before I do, let me read a couple of sentences, verses from the Gospel of Matthew, where it says this. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus did not have an earthly father. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and Jesus was fully divine, fully God, and yet fully human. And it goes on and says this in verse 21 of Matthew 1. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Christmas and all that it means. Jesus, we recognize in ourselves that we are handicapped and addicted and trapped in our sins. Our irreversible selfishness and pride and self-centeredness. And Jesus, I thank you that you came to die on the cross for our sins and to rise from the dead. And you came, as Matthew tells us in the gospel there in chapter 1, that you came to save us from our sins. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would flow through me now, that you would anoint these lips of clay, and that your presence would be here and touch each heart here tonight. Where there are sad hearts, broken hearts, and even some who don't even know Jesus as their Savior. Pray that you would reveal to them your unfailing love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you could put that picture up there of Steve McQueen, and we'll just leave it up there for a minute. Do we have that? There he is. The King of Cool. That's what he became to be known in the Hollywood world and literally all around the world. At the height of his stardom, he was nationally and internationally known. His piercing, mesmerizing blue eyes and rugged good looks propelled him to the top of the film world. He loved speed. He was a mechanic. He loved tinkering with engines on cars and motorcycles. is 1968 movie about a San Francisco Lieutenant Frank Bullitt solidifies his image in the minds of moviegoers worldwide. Not only was he the king of cool, but he was the king of speed. And just recently, a couple of years ago, a magazine reported that that actual car became known as the Ford Mustang Bullitt car, sold at an auction in Florida for $3.7 million. Okay? Steve McQueen's early years were pretty rough, and it really shaped his whole life. He was born to a single mom on March 24th, 1930, at St. Francis Hospital in Beech Grove, Indiana. It was a suburb right outside of Indianapolis. His mom's name was Julian Crawford. His dad's name was William McQueen. They never married, and 3 months after Steve was born, his dad vanished and was never seen or heard from again. Steve's mom, Julian, was unstable. She loved to party. She had a chronic alcohol problem, which put her in compromising situations with men all of her life. And she was unable to care for Steve. And so she took him to her parents' house in Slater, Missouri. The depression hit, and they later moved to a relative's house, Uncle Claude, on a farm. And Steve said that those years were good with his Uncle Claude. He was fair. He taught Steve many things, okay? And it was a good experience during that time. But his mom, Julian, remarried. And she called and said, I want Steve to come and live with us. And she married another alcoholic and abusive man. And it was a bad experience. And soon, Steve was living on the streets and stealing hubcaps and causing problems in the community where he lived. He later said in an interview this, when a kid doesn't have any love when he's small, he begins to wonder if he's good enough. My mother didn't love me, and I didn't have a father. And I thought, well, I must not be very good. So Steve went later to live back in Slater, Missouri with his Uncle Claude. His mom moved to L.A., and she married again, another alcoholic, another abusive man. And he was there for a while, and then Steve couldn't take it anymore, and he ran off. And then later he wound up at California Junior Boys Republic. It's a reformatory school in Chino, California. He had a bad attitude. He got in a lot of fights. He didn't like anybody. But he later said that that experience at that reform school helped him, gave him some discipline, and he gradually learned how to get along with other people. Later, Steve joined the Marines, okay, and he was in the Marines from 1947 to 1950. Okay, and then he got an acting bug and decided to go to New York City. And he had a little money from the GI Bill and lived there for a while and learned how to act. And then later moved to Los Angeles and wound up in a series that maybe some of you older folks, shall I say, have seen called Wanted Dead or Alive. And that series ran for 95 episodes from 1958 to 1961. Well, as they say, the rest is history. Okay, and he wound up in many movies. He was in The Magnificent Seven with Yul Brynner, Charles Bronson, James Coburn, The Great Escape. Many saw the motorcycle jumping over things there and how he got out of the prison camp there into Nazi Germany. He was in Bullitt in 1968, Tower Inferno, Thomas Crown Affair, Tom Horn, and many, many others. Unfortunately, he went through two marriages, Nellie Adams and Allie McGraw, and then finally, later in life, married Barbara Minty. By the mid-1970s, Steve was sick of the Hollywood movie scene and wanted to be left alone with his privacy. And Steve and his wife, Barbara Minty, moved to Ventura County, a little agricultural town named Santa Paula. It was about 65 miles northwest of L.A., and it was the perfect place for Steve and Barbara McQueen. He wanted to learn how to fly. He had always loved speed and fast cars and fast motorcycles, so planes were a natural next step in his need for speed. So Steve went to a local airstrip in the area and met someone named Sammy Mason. God had something providential in mind for Steve McQueen at that point. All of Steve's life, he'd been looking for a father, and he found that in Sammy Mason. Sammy was confident, he was strong, but he wasn't a loudmouth braggart, and he spent many hours learning how to fly with Sammy Mason. One day after they'd logged many hours, Steve began to be comfortable with Sammy Mason, and he began to ask him piercing questions about his life. And he looked at him one day and he just said, how in the world do you find peace? And Sammy, without a lot of bravado or noise, just said, well, I'm a Christian. And Steve began to ask questions about what that meant. And he just began to tell him who Jesus was and what it said in the Bible and what he had found there. And Steve said this, and Greg Laurie wrote this in the biography, and he said this, Sammy and me would fly. He'd tell me about the Lord. McQueen later told a friend, flying in the Lord, I learned about the Bible. I'd listen and I'd fly. It made sense. It made me feel good. The impenetrable armor Steve had developed over a lifetime was finally beginning to crack. He'd personally seen the emptiness of the life he had lived. He had his nose rubbed in it, in fact. He knew where the answers weren't. And now he was talking to someone who seemed to know where they were. Well, Steve and Barbara had been a model and used to glamorous clothes, and Steve came home one day and said, you need to get a long dress on that glows below your knees. And we're going to visit this Ventura Missionary Church. And so Barbara got kind of a dowdy old-fashioned dress, and they went to church and they started going to Ventura Missionary Church every Sunday. Steve was afraid of fans and afraid of people and protecting his privacy, and sat up in the balcony where he would not be seen, and sat there for many weeks. And every Sunday they went and heard Bible preaching and heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, Steve felt comfortable enough to ask the pastor, Leonard DeWitt, and they had lunch together. And DeWitt later recalled, he said, it was an intense conversation as Steve peppered me with many questions about Jesus, the cross, sin, forgiveness, grace, and all-around matters regarding the Christian faith. Finally, Steve had a little smile on his face, and he leaned back in his chair and said, well, that's about enough for me. And Pastor DeWitt leaned forward, and he had one more question for Steve. But before he could ask the question, Steve jumped in and he said, you want to know if I'm born again, right? And DeWitt leaned forward and said, well, Steve, it is the only thing that matters. And Steve replied, and I quote, I am born again. And at the end of your message a few weeks back, you asked people to if they'd like to give their hearts to Christ to pray the sinner's prayer. And you said something like this, Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart. And I said that prayer with you, and I became born again. They later gave him a copy of Josh McDowell's book, More Than a Carpenter. And Steve began to grow in his faith. And someone accommodated his desire to read the Bible and understand the Bible. And he started going to church every week during the week and engaging in a Bible study. And he grew in his faith. That was in about late fall of 1979. And as many know, he was diagnosed with cancer at the end of that year and died just a short time later. What did Steve McQueen learn as Pastor DeWitt shared the gospel with him? Well, I don't have a recording of those conversations, but I know that Pastor DeWitt opened this book and told him about Jesus Christ and told him how he could experience forgiveness of sins. You say Steve had been to the top of worldwide fame and stardom and money and beautiful women and all kinds of things and everything he wanted. And nothing could satisfy the hole in his heart. It's like that Augustine once said many generations ago, there's a hole inside of every heart, and only God can fill it. So let me just leave you with these quick five things. Number one, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have everlasting life. God loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, what you're ashamed of, what skeletons you have in your closet. God loves you, and that will never change. And you have an opportunity to respond to that love, and you have to make a decision. Jesus, here I am. I'm tired of steering my own ship. I'm tired of running my own show. I'm tired of running into dead ends. I'm tired of that endless ache in my heart that I've tried to fill with many things and nothing works. So God loves us. And we have a problem, and it's our sin. I want my own way. You want your own way. We're all selfish. We're all ticked off about something. Something has bugged us and bothered us, and on we go. On our merry way, addicted and trapped in the selfishness of our own heart. That's why the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The third thing I know that Pastor DeWitt told him was that Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. God loves us. We're sinners, and Jesus is the only way. And I've had people get mad at me about that verse. How can you be so arrogant and pig-headed to say that your way is the only way? And I say, you know what? I didn't come up with this. I'm just telling you what it says here. And I had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and it changed my life forever. He's real. He forgives sin. He heals the human heart. He sets us free and does a work of transformation inside so that we can be a new creation in Christ. The fourth thing is it's free. We're all used to working and getting something for it. If you're a good boy, you get a cookie. If you're a bad boy, you get a spanking. And we just think that life works that way. If I'm good, everything goes fine. If I'm bad, it goes bad. But you know what? The grace of God is so mind-bogglingly amazing. God says, you know what? I'm going to pay for your sin, and you cannot earn it. The Apostle Paul said, it's for by grace you've been saved through faith. It is a gift of God that no one can boast. I've met people in the most horrible situations in the last 30 years. I've talked to people that have killed people, that have done horrible things. And you know what the Bible says? If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The last thing is this. You have to ask personally Jesus to come into your heart. In the book of Revelation, it says, Jesus is knocking at the door. Behold, I knock at the door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and be with him, and he with me. I can't do this for you. Your mother can't do this for you. No pastor, priest, or anyone else could do this for you. You have to say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need you. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. And I'm going to challenge you with this in conclusion tonight. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Are you tired of running your own show? Are you tired of being in charge? When are you going to say, Jesus, I've had enough. I need you. God brought Steve McQueen to that point in his life. And the goodness of God, just a few months before he died, he recognized everything has been a waste. Everything is nothing. The fame and the money and all that I had means nothing because I have no peace. And when he heard the gospel in Ventura Missionary Church, he said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Would you do that tonight? I would invite you to pray that prayer. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to have a fanfare. You don't have to have a parade. You can just quietly say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Would you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came. Fully God, fully human, you carried our sins and you went to the cross. You healed the sick, you opened the eyes of the blind, you quieted the storm, you cast out demons. You demonstrated by your actions that you were God in the flesh. You died in our place. You rose from the dead. And Jesus, miraculously so, the scripture tells us, you are coming again. And the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I would pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to every heart here tonight. If there's someone that does not know you, would you reveal yourself to them by the Holy Spirit? Would they pray a prayer of faith and say, yes, Jesus, forgive me and come in? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.